नारायण नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये Before we start in the Srimad-Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to Naranarayan Rishi, the supermost human being, and to Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, and to Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashtapayeshabandreshu Vidyam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavatyuttama Shloke Bhaktim Bhavati Naishtiki. By regular attendance in classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and by rendering devotional service unto the pure devotee, all that is inauspicious within the heart is destroyed almost to nil. And loving devotion to the Supreme Lord, who is glorified in the best of songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Canto 3, Chapter 13. The appearance of Lord Varaha, text 11.
Sattvamasyama
patyani
Sattvamasyama patyani
Sadrishanyatmano gunai
Sadrishanyatmano gunai
Utpadya shasa dharmena
Utpadya shasa dharmena
Gangyavyai purusam yaja
Gangyavyai purusam yaja
Saha Therefore, that obedient son, from
as you are,
asyam, in her, apatyani,
children,
sadrishani,
equally qualified,
atmanaha, of yourself,
gunai,
with the characteristics.
Utpadya,
having begotten,
Shasa,
rule,
Dharmena,
on the principles of devotional service,
Gam,
the world,
Yagyai,
by sacrifices,
Purusham,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead,
Yaja,
worship. Translation, this is Lord Brahma speaking to Swayambhuva Manu. Since you are my very obedient son, I ask you to beget children qualified like yourself in the womb of your wife. Rule the world in pursuance of the principles of devotional service unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and thus worship the Lord by the performances of yajna. Srila Prabhupada's purport. The purpose of the material creation by Brahma is clearly described herein. Every human being should beget nice children in the womb of his wife as a sacrifice for the purpose of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead in devotional service. In the Vishnu Purana 389, it is stated, Varnashamacharavata purushena parakumam Vishnu aradhyate pantha nanyattat toshakaranam. One can worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, by proper discharge of the principles of varna and ashram. There is no alternative to pacifying the Lord by execution of the principles of the varna ashram system. Close quote. Vishnu worship is the ultimate aim of human life. Those who take the license of married life for sense enjoyment must also take the responsibility to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu, and the first stepping stone is the Varnashram Dharma system. Varnashram Dharma is the systematic institution for advancing in worship of Vishnu. However, If one directly engages in the process of devotional service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, it may not be necessary to undergo the disciplinary system of Varnashram Dharma. The other sons of Brahma, the Kumaras, directly engaged in devotional service, and thus they had no need to execute the principles of Varnashram Dharma. Om Jnana Tamarandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Nidatam Mena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manovishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahaganavagunatam Vitantam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvadutam Paditam Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Dalita Shri Vishakam Vitamsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishapam Sute Devi Kanamami Hari Kriye Vanchakalpatarubhyascha, Kripasindhubhyascha, Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Govardhavinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
So before I begin, I would like to express my thanks to everyone for allowing me to give this class. I don't feel myself actually worthy for this, especially in the presence of such exalted souls. I tried to get out of it, but they wouldn't let me. So here I am. So in this verse, Lord Brahma is giving his instruction to Swayambhuva Manu for achieving the goal which has been on his mind for some time. I looked up some of the other, the earlier chapters, especially I think the previous chapter in which the Kumaras appeared. And Brahma has this big task to perform, which is to populate the universe. Because as Prabhupada says, the purpose of the universe is number one, to allow the living entities who had been merged into the body of Mahavishnu to begin again their karmic activities, and especially to reform them, if possible, so that they can escape this bondage of samsara and go back to Godhead. But in order for that to happen, the population has to take birth. Planets are created and the population has to gradually appear. So this is Brahma's first headache, if you will. So we see various false starts in this endeavor. He creates the Kumaras, and he wants them to produce praja, and they refuse. Now he understands that they're doing so for a higher purpose. They want to practice pure devotional service. But still he's angry that his instruction is being refused. But he controls it, but comes out between his eyes. Right? And the color blue and red, an individual, Rudra. He's named Rudra because he was produced of this anger. So he asked Rudra to produce the praja. And he starts producing, he expands into seven, he starts producing the praja, but they start devouring the universe. Not good. So he asked Rudra to then start meditating. Control, and he takes on this role of Shiva that we know so well. So then the Kumaras didn't work out, Rudra didn't work out. Now we find that Swayambhuva Manu is taking on this task of fulfilling the desire of his father, Lord Brahma, who's also his spiritual master, to populate the universe. Now when Brahma produced he produced various Prajapatis, and after he produced the different Prajapatis, he also produced Narada Muni. Narada Muni came from his discrimination. It came from various parts of Narada's body, and this Narada Muni
He is fulfills the real purpose of the universe by giving Nara. Nara is a name for Narayan, for Krishna. Narada, wherever he goes, and he appears more than any other Mahajan, actually, in the Bhagavatam. Every canto, you see Narada appears. And he's always giving just that instruction that's perfect and suitable for the candidate to begin devotional service. So here we find the task being taken up by Swayambhuva Manu. And Srila Prabhupada quotes this verse, Varnashramacharavata. Now here it's said that there's no other way to please the Lord than by following this Varnashram system. So how does this Varnashram system pertain to us? Because after all, we find in the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, or rather the conversation with Ramananda Roy, that this verse was brought up, and Lord Chaitanya said, that's external, go further. This is one of the first verses, answers to the question, what is the final goal of life and how can one achieve it? And yet Srila Prabhupada, as we know, was very eager to have Varnashram established in ISKCON, at least a pilot project. He knew that this had to happen for the society to grow and grow and grow and be a truly international society where people could live and work, raise children, all on the basis of Krishna consciousness. So how do we relate to Varnashram? This is a key question. And one of the things that came to mind is that our whole morning program that Srila Prabhupada set up, which I think we can agree is the foundation of our spiritual life, is this morning program where they very varied diet. We have the deities, worship, so much chanting of Hare Krishna, we have the class. So all the five main processes of devotional service enumerated by Srila Rupa Goswami, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, are there in the morning program. Sadhu Sangha, Sankirtan, studying Bhagavatam in a holy place, worshipping the deity is there. So, in all of that morning program, there's no Varnashram. There's no Varnashram in the Kirtan. When everyone's dancing and chanting in ecstasy, you think, oh, there's a Brahman, there's a Kshatriya, that one's a Shudra. No, nothing like that. And this, even Harinam going out, there's no question of, oh, this is a Shudra Vaishnava, this is the Brahman Vaishnava. Anyone who has that mentality is living in hell. Arche Vishnava Shiladi Gurushanadabhati Vaishnava Jati Buddhir. If you think that a Vaishnava is determined by his birth, that, oh, this is the birth of a Brahmin family, Shudra family, then it's a hellish mentality. Yasiva Nadakisa. So much what we do has nothing to do with Varnashram, isn't it? Now, in the evening, Prabhupada mentioned, we all gather together, more kirtan, more class, more worship of the deity, hearing Bhagavad Gita, nectar devotion, the famous ISKCON sandwich, no Varnashram. Now, of course, elders may speak, there may be learned devotees who speak, but basically, we are simply devotees. We're simply bhaktis. And Varnashram doesn't really pertain there. Now, but during the day, during the time when we do our service, when we sometimes have to work in order to maintain family, and there's brahmacharis who are studying, who are doing menial service, who are preaching, there is a structure that Srila Prabhupada wanted to set up, especially in farm communities, which Varnashram of course means must have cow protection, agriculture, brahminical culture, all these things, which can show a way in which people can be happy in Krishna consciousness, living very simply on the basis of the land and the cows, and working together, and not worrying about the different hierarchy. There isn't this exploitative mentality which we find in the world at large. But it only works when everyone is basically practicing very strict sadhana, and getting their enjoyment and their pleasure in life from being Krishna conscious and serving Krishna through whatever duties they may have to perform. So, but it's important to have this Varnashram system because we are living in the world. We're living in a world in which you have to have something to eat, you have to maintain a roof over your head, families are going to be there, and therefore the rules of Varnashram
are there. I wanted to read something very interesting. You know that in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the Svarnashram system is spoken of mostly in two places, if I recall, 7th canto and also 11th canto. Sri Krishna has a chapter on Svarnashram. Most of the instruction I found in detail in the 7th canto, where Narada Muni instructing Yudhishthira. Now, what I wanted to read, if you'll forgive me, it's a little long list, but what's interesting here is that before he even describes the different varnas and the ashrams to Yudhishthira, he has a list of qualities that all human beings are meant to cultivate, no matter what varna or ashram you are. And if you don't cultivate them, you can't be counted amongst the human beings. Now, some of you may have read this before, you may not have remembered them all, but I'm going to read them, and Srila Prabhupada gives a wonderful commentary. A lot of the interesting commentary is in the synonyms, the word by words. Don't miss out on those when you read the Srimad Bhagavatam. So these are the qualities that everyone's supposed to have. Man, woman, any varna, any ashram, to be a human being. Truthfulness, mercy, austerity, cleanliness. Prabhupada gives the insight. Bathing at least 2 times a day and always chanting the holy name. Internal cleanliness, external cleanliness. So you can see, those are the 4 principles of religion. Also, tolerance, discriminating between right and wrong, controlling the mind, controlling the senses, non-violence, celibacy, charity, reading the scripture, simplicity, satisfaction, serving saintly persons, gradually taking leave of unnecessary engagements. Shishirada Madhava Sashaki Kija. Lord Nishingadev Kija. Seeing the futility of unnecessary actions in human society. Remaining silent and grave and avoiding unnecessary talk. Discriminating between the body and the soul. Distributing food to men and animals. Seeing every soul as part and parcel of God. Hearing Krishna Katha. Chanting these lila and instructions. Krishna Katha. Always remembering them. Service to the Lord. Worshipping Him. Offering obeisances to Him. Becoming a friend. And surrendering everything. This is the qualities of a human being, regardless of varna and ashram. So what does it sound like? It sounds like the qualities of a devotee, isn't it? So the idea is that the Srimad Bhagavatam, although it mentions the varnas and the ashrams, and there's some detail there in these instructions of Narada Muni, the central point is always to develop the qualities of devotional service and to be devotees. Everything follows from that. And there's several verses, the most famous, Tata Pumbir Vidashvestar Varnashrama Vibhagashaha, Svanasitasya Dharmasa Samsidhi Haritoshanam. That the real purpose of the varna and ashram, the perfection, is to satisfy Krishna or Hari with those activities. If it just becomes some kind of a caste system in which the upper castes are exploiting the lower castes, this is a great corruption of the varna and ashram system. And so when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, he didn't talk about varna and ashram. He spread the Sankirtan movement, the chanting of the holy name. And this brings us to the other point I wanted to cover, which is mentioned in this verse, and that worshipping the Lord through yajna, through sacrifice. This word yajna is here. And in this way, rule the world by propagating and ruling over and teaching the proper sacrifices. So sacrifice is a very important part of human life. Human life, without sacrifice, there can be neither happiness in this life nor the next, Krishna says in the 3rd chapter. So what is that sacrifice? Each age has its specific dharma, and in this age, of course, we have the sacrifice of the congregational chanting of the holy name. We also perform other sacrifices. We'll have the homas, and we'll have the fire sacrifices for initiation, marriage, etc. But the prime sacrifice is the sacrifice of Sankirtan, as taught by the incarnation for the age, Yuga Avatar, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now, that sacrifice underlies everything. And why is it so important in this age? Well, because it's taught by the incarnation of the age. It's especially suited to this age. And because of that, this age, and the wonderful thing about it is that even though we're mostly unqualified by birth or education to perform the intricate sacrifices of mentioned in the Vedas, with all the proper mantras and pronunciation and everything. Everybody is completely qualified in this age, no matter who he is, who he or she is, to perform this sacrifice. So it's completely open to everyone. And the wonderful thing about it is that if you practice it properly under the guidance of spiritual master, and you actually try to avoid the offenses and prosecute it, you achieve the highest goal just by that sacrifice. And therefore it is said in the 11th canto that this Kali Yuga in which Lord Chaitanya appears is worshipped by the demigods and those who understand things as they are. Kalim sabadiyantyaya gunagya sarabadinaha yatra sankirtane naiva sarvaswato abhilabhyate. In describing the different Yuga avatars, he comes to the famous verse, Krishna Varnam Tusha Krishnam, describing Lord Chaitanya. And then a few verses later, he says, this Kali Yuga is very special because those who know the essence of things, Sarabhadina, the Aryans, they worship this Kali Yuga. Because just by Sankirtan, all of your goals, Svartha, Svartha means the real goals of the soul, not these external goals, relating to the bodily concept, are achieved by this Sankirtan. So, when that jagya is performed nicely, then everything falls into place. One can be satisfied in any position in the organization of Varnashram, because you have that inner satisfaction coming from chanting and dancing and chanting the holy name and doing all the other practices of devotional service that flow from that. This is your satisfaction in prosperity or poverty, cold or heat, health or disease. That is always there because it's pertaining to the soul. And we see great devotees, even in our contemporaries, who were able to remain equipoised and upbeat even at the time of death, because they were absorbed in the holy name. Recently I had the great opportunity to be present at the disappearance of Radhanath Prabhu. Some of you may know him. He was in a wheelchair for years and years and years. He lived in different places. In the last couple of years he was living in San Diego. And he had this progressive disease where his body was completely stiff. He had trouble breathing because of the muscles of the diaphragm weren't working properly. And yet he was going out on Sankirtan. He was distributing books. And one of our most wonderful bhaktas there, a very nice 19-year-old boy, Bhakta Bronson, who is now a full-time book distributor, learning very nicely, he became a devotee because he got a book in a parking lot from Radhanath Prabhu. And so did his mother become a devotee. So in the last days he was in the hospital, and he decided that he didn't want to go on the breathing machine and stay going for, you know, days and weeks in a nursing home. He had always been able to be in the association of devotees, even though he had this progressive debilitating disease. And so he decided, let me go, just pull the plug, you know. And he picked the time, he picked the day, and we all gathered there. And he was, you know, very peaceful and calm. He was chanting, of course, and all his dearest friends were there. And off he went, you know, to Goloka. So, next service, you know, to Krishna. So, and we're not alone. We have experience now with great souls who have departed. And so how is that possible? I used to work in a hospital before I joined the movement. And I saw so many non-devotees as they were approaching death. And they're just terrified. It's just shocking. Their whole world has come crashing down, especially when it comes suddenly to a heart attack or something. And all of the props, all of the so-called shelter, the fallible soldiers mentioned in that second canto by Shukadeva Goswami, those fallible soldiers have left the battlefield and you've got nothing left. Suddenly the end is there and you don't know where you're going, you know, and the doctors will tell you, they start seeing things, you know, the Yamadutas are starting to come. And people are just terrified. And this is where all of their illusion comes to, is this suddenly this shock that they have no shelter because they haven't cultivated devotional service. So this is what it's all working out to. Now, in the meanwhile, as we live in this world, we're trying to spread devotional service. We have a responsibility. We have a responsibility both to preach and also to become Krishna conscious. Because that becoming Krishna conscious and relishing Krishna consciousness is the foundation of spreading Krishna consciousness. If people come in contact with a devotee, and that's where the key is, actually coming in contact with a devotee who's practicing devotional service, who's reading Srila Prabhupada's books and living those books to the best of their ability, and see the stark difference in the mentality. Because all over the world, I live in the United States, but it doesn't really make any difference. All the whole world has accepted this so-called philosophy of consuming as much as possible, gaining, accumulating wealth, and buying the petty baubles of sense gratification. When people can understand, I can see, you can just see around you, whether it's in a wealthy country like America or some third world country or whatever, people are not happy with this accumulation of things. It becomes very staid. You know, this is spoken of by Prahlad Maharaj. He says, Kutra Shisha Shruti Sukha Migatushni Rupa Kweram Kaleva Damashesha Dajambiroha Nividnitena Tuchano Napapiti Vidvam Kamanalam Modulavaishamayan Dorabai. So he's saying there, taking the role of a, well here he's just giving some facts. He says, Kutra Shisha, what use are these desires, these aspirations for material happiness, material pleasures? Shruti Sukha, most of the happiness is in the hearing about it. You know? This is an interesting phenomenon. People, that you see the advertisements, right? Then you aspire for something. I want to get the big screen TV, right? Something like that. So you read about it, you think about it, you know, you look at your friends, you know, like that, you know. And so, finally, you know, if you're it's your karma, you're able to accumulate enough wealth to go into debt and buy that huge screen TV, you know. But then, after some time, what happens is you find it doesn't make you happy and pleased. First of all, you have to pay off the loan. Then you find that there's so many things on it, and it just, you know, that are degrading, you know. Then you find your kids getting addicted to it. You know, basically, there's always something that happens that is, you know, not pleasing about material life. And you become, then of course what happens is a bigger one comes out with a high definition. Then you have to jump that one to get another one. So this is what it's all about. And he gives it the epithet of Mrigatrishna Rupa. It has the form of a mirage. Mrigatrishna, it comes from the word, the thirst of a deer, or an animal. In other words, the animal is looking out from the oasis and looking out in the desert and sees another oasis, runs out to it, and it's not there when he gets there. And he dies. So this is the nature of material life, is that there's always something else to strive for, some other person, some other goal, some other thing, and then you run out of time, or it's not your karma, and you're just disappointed, even if you get it. So he says, and what is the use of this body as a foundation for enjoyment? It's simply an abode of all kinds of diseases. You know. But then he says something very interesting. He says, even if someone knows this, Vidvan, this theme comes up again in the Bhagavatam, still he cannot desist from searching for sense gratification because the mind, Kamamalam Modalavaishamayan Dorapai, the very effort to get the honey-like drops of sense gratification to extinguish the kamanalam, the fire of lust, that effort and that absorption keeps you in the mode of passion. And even though you know theoretically, you cannot act on it. And this brings up another important point I wanted to make. And that is that even as devotees, this is why I said we have a responsibility to become advanced in devotional service so that we can actually taste the sweetness of the holy name, so we can actually relish the deities, the darshan of the deities, and also relish all of our services, see Krishna within our service, which is, after all, meant to please Him, and also to relish the nectar that comes from pleasing the spiritual master and serving the devotees and all of the things I listed there.
There is a pleasure there that's far beyond anything that the materialist can imagine. But if we find ourselves committing offenses during the Holy Name, not carefully practicing the principles of devotional service, then even though we may have had a taste, we may lose that taste. And when we lose the taste for devotional service, and the taste for the Holy Name especially, then we are easy prey for Maya. Even though we know theoretically, we may have read the Bhagavad Gita 20, 30 times, we may be Bhakti Shastri, still, we have to be careful to cultivate our taste for devotional service and rise up to the platform of firm nishtha and getting more and more taste and advancing. Otherwise, we can lose that taste and we become prey to the material energy. So, this is why, and if we are getting that taste and if we are feeling happy and satisfied in devotional service, then Varnashram can be built on that platform. Otherwise, it is an artificial construct, and it cannot be maintained. There are too many distractions in this world. There's too many ways in which the material energy can enter in, either through the internet, or through your friend who watched the internet and told you something. Or, see what I mean? There's so many ways. We go out, you know, when we're exposed, if we're not strong, we can easily be drawn away. So to maintain that strength in devotional service, is our duty, and it also should be our own personal aspiration. This brings up the point of what are we performing sadhana for? Sadhana means, according to Rupa Goswami, with the sadhya in mind, with the goal in mind, and then the sadhana all makes sense. Even those things that you may not spontaneously want to do, and that is the nature of Vaidhi Bhakti. Is that you do it as a matter of duty to the spiritual master and to the previous acharyas, you know, because you understand that this is my duty and it will bring me to the goal. This is called Vaidhi Bhakti. Anukuryena sankalpa pratikulyasa varjanam. Accepting those things favorable, rejecting the things unfavorable. So, you do those things because you have your sadhya in mind. I know that at the end of this is prema bhakti. Is returning to the spiritual world, or even before physically leaving the body, understanding my relation to Krishna and living in that relationship. It's very advanced, but that's the goal. And so everything else makes sense, and you're willing to perform the sacrifice and undergo the austerity because that goal is in mind. We find in the material world it happens all the time. Someone wants to make $1 million, they want to become very wealthy. Well, I have to start out getting a degree, learning business, doing all the difficult things, you know, and when it's, you know, these are great austerities. Oh, but the end of the, you know, the gold pot at the end of the rainbow, you know, and then I'll be able to enjoy like anything. It's an illusion, but still the same idea, the sadhya and the sadhana is there. So we should understand, we should read the Srila Prabhupada's books and understand what that goal is, so we'll be enlivened to perform the sadhana bhakti, the elements of sadhana, which are not so pleasing to the senses, but which are, at first, but which are essential to train the mind, train the senses, so that Krishna will reveal himself. That famous verse, Atak Shri Krishna Namadi, Nabave Grayam Indrayai, Sevan Mukhehi Jivado, Swayameva Spurachidaha. That in our present state, our senses cannot really perceive the real nature of the holy name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna. But if, under the instruction, the direction of Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, we begin service with the tongue, by chanting the holy name, tasting prasad, etc., then the senses become purified, and then one day Krishna reveals himself. He reveals, because he's pleased with our efforts. So this is very encouraging. He says, we may not understand so much, we may not be experiencing what we read about in the books, but we should know that if we practice carefully and we make the effort to advance, that one day these experiences will be there. And we get hints of them anyway. Even in the beginning, we read from Nectar of Devotion. How many of us have not been in an ecstatic kirtan? Or had some wonderful class in which we got so enlivened? Or had some other experience in devotional service? These are all simply little drops of nectar that are drawing us on to the state of Sai Baba. Where you'll have ecstasy, steady ecstasy, and build on that. This is part of our line. This is what we're aiming for. So we shouldn't lose sight of that. That's our personal goal. And externally, to somehow or other, by adopting these qualities and the quality of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which was both preaching and also internal relishment, to do good to others. That's one thing I wanted to quote from Krishna himself when he's describing this idea of sacrifice, how to make your life successful. You know, in his teachings to his friends about the glories of the trees, where after stealing the garments of the gopis, there's a little piece of that chapter in which he starts walking throughout Vrindavan, and he starts praising the trees. The trees are so munificent, because they're simply giving the fruits, the flowers, their own wood, the shade, you see? And they never complain. Even the woodsman comes, cuts them down, you never hear them complain. So he gives them as an example of tolerance and munificence. So he has this very important verse, Prabhupada would quote all the time, Etavat janma sapalyam dehinam iha dehishu prana arta diya vacha shreya acharanam sadhar. That if we want to make our life fruitful and successful, then for all other living beings, any living being who wants to make his life successful should, for all other living beings, use his prana, life energy, our life, whatever we do, our wealth, our intelligence, and our words, to for shreya, for doing benefit for everyone else. And always do it. Shreya Acharanam Sada. So that's the Sankirtan movement. When we dedicate our energy, our intelligence, our words, our wealth for spreading Krishna consciousness, this is the ultimate good fortune for the whole world. This is the Shreya Kayadava Chandika Avataranam. Lord Chaitanya says right in the Shikshastik first verse that the Sankirtan movement, beginning with the chanting of the holy names and progressing out, you know, spreading the books, everything we do to spread Krishna consciousness, following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and previous acharyas, this is Shreya Acharanam Sadha. This is doing welfare work for everyone. And that also increases our taste for the holy name. It's mercy. This taste is given by Krishna, and it can be withdrawn if we offend, especially if we offend great devotees or any devotees, or perform other offenses. So, maintaining and increasing our taste for chanting. I wanted to maybe end with a couple of verses, leave a few minutes for questions. We can pray, we should pray, for increasing our attraction to the holy name. This is in the Namashtika, Rupa Goswami has two verses in which he prays specifically for increasing his attraction to the holy name. He says, Agadamana Yashoda Nandano Nandasudu Kamalamayana Gobi Chandra Vindavanindra Panatakarana Krishna Vityaneka Swarupe Tvai Mamanata Uchar Vardatam Dhamma Deha. O holy name, you have many different forms. He gives some samples. Agadamana, killer of Agasura. Yashoda Nandana and Nandasunu, son of Yashoda and Nanda. Kamala Nayana, you of the beautiful lotus eyes. Gopi Chandra, the moon of the gopis. The gopis are just like the chakora. Their eyes are like chakora birds and they bloom wide when they see the moon of Krishna's face. Vrindavanindra, the lord of Vrindavan. Pranavakarana, you are most merciful to the surrendered souls and of course Krishna. Please increase my attraction for you more and more. And then the final verse of this Namashtaka, which formed the inspiration for that famous song, Narada Muni Bhajanaviya by Bhaktivinoda Thakura, is Narada Vino Jivana Sadhormi Niyana Samaruri Pura from Krishna Nama Kamas Pudame Vasane Vasena Sada. So he says there, O holy name, you are the inspiration for the Vina of Narada. Narada Vino Jivana Sudhormi Niyana Samaruri Pura. So this is one of these words that's kind of piled on. So it's a flood of the sweetness of the essence of nectar. Something like that. Narada Vina Jivana Sudhormi Niryasa Madhuri Pura. Tom Krishna Nama Kamam. This word Kamam means if you please, O holy name. Because after all, the holy name is Krishna. He has completely free will. Spudameva said, was a neighbor saying, said, please always appear on my tongue with great attraction and taste. So we can pray to the holy name. Now, for the taste. Now, one thing that I've been going to these japa retreats, maybe you heard about them. Shachinandan Swami has started this new trend, which is very nice. We get together in a secluded place and you just concentrate on improving the japa. So one of the things that I thought of, and which is bona fide, is that because we're by our acharyas, by chanting the holy name, when you chant your japa, and this is our most important service to our acharyas, is chanting our japa, good rounds, 16 rounds with concentration and devotion. You can pray to the holy name, through the holy name, for concentration to hear the holy name. So as you chant, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, I don't know about you, but when I start chanting a japa, the whole battle is with the mind. The mind is going here, there, maybe nice devotional thoughts, what are you going to do the rest of the day? Big plans for how you're going to spread Krishna consciousness all over the world, whatever it may be. We should be hearing the holy name at that point. So, the battle is with the mind. Now we know that Krishna, the name Krishna, is Krishna. Abhinnabhannamanamina. Right? We know that. And the name Hare is also Radha. The name Rama is also Krishna himself. So you can pray to the holy name by chanting Hare Krishna for the ability, for the blessing of hearing and concentrating and absorbing your mind in the holy name. There also, you can pray and should pray for pure devotional services, so many other prayers. But the idea is that by bursting it, you have to concentrate. So that prayer, I found that it helps. So I wanted to end with one other verse. This is just a sample of the wealth that we've been given of prayers and shlokas to help us concentrate the mind on Krishna and to become absorbed in Krishna. So he says, Rupa Goswami says, Pujanga the Pujanga Kas, Puddha the Kanga Chudam Kore, Niranka Shadra Kanchada, Brahmana Bhatta Bringa Brahme, Patanga the Vitustati, Vunakati, the Kavi Priye, Puddhas Buddha the May, Mahuspahi Mukunda Shudharati. So I put in a little poem. He says, you wear the best of crests, a crown of perfect peacock plumes. Your dancing glances stun the bees, meandering midst the blooms. You relish love play in the cottage by Kalindi's shore. O Krishna, may pure love for you be mine forevermore. Hare Krishna. So on that note, we have a few minutes, 1 or 2 minutes. We should have talked to them.
You can get that famous prayer in that line of Ravana Dasgupta, saying the holy name, Pranayi
Radhiti Naman of a Sundara Sira. Alright, so.
You meet this cardboard and you have 60, then you put it in the name of Radha.
So, some of you weren't here. This was what I've been doing these slokas in the morning for after Mangalarti before the announcements. And this was the first one I did, so maybe some of you come later. You haven't heard this one, so it's, anyway, a refresh. Radhiti Naman of a Sundara Sira Mugnam. Krishna Tinam Madhurapata Gada Dukdham Savakshanam Sulaviraga Himena Ramyan Pritvata Daiva Pivamehra Sanichurati. So this is from Raghunath Das Goswami's Stavavali, and he says, an excellent fresh nectar drink with endless subtle tastes. Such is the name of Radha, by whom all three worlds are graced. Condensed milk that is wonderfully delicious, thick and sweet. Such is the name of Krishna, in whom all attractions meet. Now mix these drinks, O thirsty tongue, and add the fragrant ice of love. A prize the wise will try to buy at any price. And then at every moment, drink this beverage most fine, and make my heart supremely blissful, peaceful, and divine. But here's another thing. In whatever language you speak, write some of your favorite verses into poetry and share them with your friends. This is another nice way to become Krishna. Any other comments or questions? Grihalabhu, can we have the mic so we can hear?
Can you hear me? You said a number of things which kind of made me think about one of my pet peeves, which is you're standing in kirtan and trying to absorb yourself, perform your yajna and your yajna for the pleasure of the Lord. And behind you, you hear a conversation going on, which has to be kind of loud because the kirtan is going on. And in order for the conversers to hear each other, they have to speak above the kirtan. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said that kirtan is the emperor of sadhana. So could you speak a little bit about this? I coined a term for it. I call it sankirtan.
Sankirtan.
As far as us performing proper sadhana and also entering into the Ananda Buddhi Vardhana.
Yes. It's a disease. It's kind of a disease. An extreme example is that we see it in the West more, because here, I mean, these kirtans are overwhelming. Who wouldn't be attracted? At least that's how I feel. But sometimes you find that, geez, there's so much to do. You know, I have to get ready for the next day, or some business, I have to call. You know, like in the West, when you have a phone, it's very hard to be a GBC on the West Coast of America. Because the whole world is woken up, especially the message. You have to, 6 o'clock, there's someone to call, 9 o'clock in New York to figure something out. I remember this over years. So somehow or other, kirtan is pushed to the side. You don't have time for it. Because, what do you really get? You know, I mean, I'm not accomplishing anything. And this is the illusion. But actually, without the kirtan, there's nothing. There's nothing. The whole movement rests on that foundation. And so does our Krishna consciousness. So, you know, Prabhupada was very strict on this point. I remember this story of Advaita, well, I don't want to name names, but he's going back to 1967. He was running the press. He was running Prabhupada's first, literally the press. I mean, a printing press was there in Tiffany Place, and he was running that in Brooklyn and putting out Prabhupada's books. And, you know, to start something like that going and putting the ink in and figuring it out, he was spending all his day. And he told Prabhupada, I don't have time to chant, I don't have time to come to the program. He said, shut down the press and you come to the program. He said, shut down the press and you should come to the program. So, this idea of conversation, it's an absolutely pressing conversation that should be done outside, you know, minimal amount of time and then come back into the kirtan. But the idea is that we should not minimize the importance of this jagya, this sankirtan jagya. This is what we're all about. To be able to become absorbed, and this is also something, to hear, to concentrate on the holy name in kirtan. You know, it's nice the dancing and all the relation with the devotees, but if you're not hearing the holy name fully, then you're not participating fully, you're not getting the full benefit. First comes hearing. Everything is to enhance the hearing and the chanting and absorption. And then everything flows from that. So I would say that should be discouraged, that one can speak politely, please take it outside if it's absolutely essential, life and death, but do not break the mood of the kirtan with its distracting talk. That's my recommendation. That's what I would say. I think Prabhupada would back me up. Janmashtami Prabhu. And one or two more, and then I guess we have to adjourn.
I'm wondering if you could give us an analysis of the bearing that properly being situated properly that Dhanashram has and our capacity to taste the holy name and experience transcendental bliss.
Well, going back to the mind again, one needs to have a peaceful mind, really, in order to concentrate fully on any aspect of emotional service, especially chanting. If one is not situated nicely in the service or feels anxiety because your material situation is so disturbing, then when it comes time to do japa, it comes time to do kirtan, you won't have to be able to concentrate and have a peaceful mind. So this kind of organization is important for, you know, the whole universe. This is why he's saying do it for the whole universe. What to speak of our little universe of ISKCON is that
we need the leaders need to find ways to create a facility and an environment in which devotional service can flourish. And when we're dealing with families and jobs and trying to maintain things like that, then Varnashram is the best way to do it. Progressive development of renunciation through the ashrams and being situated according to one's psychophysical nature and the position of women, which I didn't get into, what their role is, all of that is within Varnashram. Then, when it comes time to practice devotion, one can be peaceful in doing it. This is how I understand it. Is that that's the relationship. Now, without the bhakti, the Varnashram has no meaning and it will dissipate. So that the strict adherence to devotional principles underlies the success of Varnashram, and Varnashram itself can help one have a peaceful mind and confidence so that he can practice devotional service. Hare Krishna. All right, one more and then we'll adjourn, because I know it's time.
One thing got me very confused though is when you mentioned the list of Prabhupada about the minimum qualifications for being a human being. It sounded to me like it. And so it defeats the very purpose of Bhagavatam Dharma. If on one hand you require from the general population that they become devotees, first of all. And but to speak of devotees, that all the qualities you mentioned were brahmanical qualities. That you, whether you're a Shudra, a Vaishnava, or a Kshatriya, you've got to be a Brahman, basically. I can't quite get my head around this one. And how would you consider a single person about this very point, about Anushandam, if we are not ourselves more clear? And I hope maybe you can clarify that.
This isn't a Prabhupada's list. This is Krishna's list. I read it straight out of the Bhagavatam. It's straight from Narada Muni speaking to Yudhishthira. But what I get from this is that the prime necessity is to be a devotee. No matter who you are. And as far as, you know, the varna and ashram, that all, after all, pertains to the body. You know, what the varna you're in, you know, what you're going to do to maintain the body and soul together. You see, but if the devotional qualities are there, primary, now they may not all be, you know, achieved at once, but this is what you have to strive for. Even the Shudras, what does a Shudra mean? A manual laborer. Jayananda was a manual laborer. He was you know, making the juggernaut carts, right? He was driving around in his cab. But was he a Shudra, you know, in the pejorative? Of course not. He was developing these qualities, you know. So, the understanding here is that you can't get around the need to develop devotional qualities, no matter who you are. That's what separates the human and the animal species, basically. You know, two-legged animals, dvipada pashu. So once you establish yourself in these qualities, or at least aspiring for them and trying to develop them, then the other aspects of Varnashram, you know, the bravery and the managerial quality of the Kshatriya, you know, and the ability to make money of the Vaishya, all of that falls into place. But if you get carried away, you know, by the fact that you can make a lot of money and you're chanting your rounds while thinking of your business, then that's not what it's all about. You know, that means that it's not really Varnashram. So that's why I stress here the foundation, the morning program, the strong sadhana, then everything else falls into place. Otherwise, it becomes confused and it doesn't have any meaning. All right, we have to end there. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.